Okay, we find ourselves on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Yes? Now, if everybody remembers what we learned last night, or at least what we left off last night, is the Gemara is discussing whether or not Limud HaTorah or Avodas HaKorbanos is greater than the other, right? Remember, the way that we started was the Gemara said that the Kohanim, Levim, and the Yisraelim would all leave the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, everybody would leave the Avoda in order to read Megillah. So the Gemara said that Mikra Megillah is greater than Avoda. Then Rebbe deduced from that he closed the yeshiva. Because if Mikra Megillah is greater than Avoda, and here was Rebbe's Chiddush, Avoda is greater than Limud HaTorah, so if A is greater than B and B is greater than C, therefore, right, what's that called in mathematics? Transitive property, is that right? So then the transitive property teaches us that A must be greater than C, therefore Mikra Megillah must be greater than Limud HaTorah, and Rebbe closed the yeshiva. And the Gemara asked, is that really true? Is it really true that Mikra Megillah is greater than Limud HaTorah? We tried to bring a proof from Yehoshua that Limud HaTorah was in fact greater than Avodas HaKorbanos, right? And the Gemara said that it depends. By Yehoshua is the Limud HaTorah of the whole Tzibur, Limud HaTorah of the whole Knesset Yisrael, that's greater than Avodas HaKorbanos. But Limud HaTorah versus Limud HaTorah of one person, sorry, versus the Avodas HaKorbanos, then Limud HaTorah is not as great as the Avodas HaKorbanos, and Avodas HaKorbanos would actually be greater. And so the Gemara says, where we left off, on the very, 2, 4, 5 lines down, right at the beginning of the line, Vahatnan, right? Everybody see? Right before that, the Gemara asks, Udiyachid Kal. I just spent 1:44 reviewing. That's not a good formula. So the Gemara says, Udiyachid Kal, is it really true that Limud HaTorah of a Yachid is going to be more lenient, more light than Avodas HaKorbanos? Vahatnan, Noshim Bamoed Ma'anos Avalomitapchos. So this is talking about at a kvura, at burial. So they used to do different kinds of, like, you know, singing and dirges and the like. And so Ma'anos is when everybody used to sing together. They would all sing together. So you can do that on a moed. Ladies, they used to do it at a funeral on a moed, even on a Yom Tov, it's allowed. Avalom etapchos is the way that they used to clap. Rashi says with their hands. Tosus says on their thighs. Or the way they used to clap. Right? Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel says, Im hayu. Did I skip something? Okay, good. So they're allowed to do ma'anos, they're allowed to sing the dirge, but lo metapchos, but they're not allowed to clap. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, im hayu smuchos lamita metapchos. If they were close to the aron, close to the niftar, then they were even allowed to clap. Barashei chadash and b'chanukah u'bapurim, on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, so you're not on one of the regalim. It's not one of the big ma'anim, it's a minor festival. So ma'anos u'metapchos, so they're allowed to do both, bazeh u'bazeh. They're allowed to sing the dirge, and they're allowed to do the clapping and the banging. Avalo mikoninos. It was a different kind of singing. Rashi and Tosafot both say a repetitive kind of chant. So they can all sing together, but they can't do this repetitive kind of chant. Now here it comes for us. Everybody ready? V'amar Rava Bar Huna ein moed b'fnei Talmid Chacham kol shekein Chanukah u'Purim. Right? That when it comes to the funeral of a Talmud Chacham, so there's no halacha of the Moed. We just said on a Moed they're allowed to do certain things. On Chanukah and Purim we're allowed to be more permissive, right? But for a Talmud Chacham, then there's no halacha of the Moed, meaning you're allowed to do everything in the funeral of a Talmud Chacham. Certainly on Chanukah and Purim you're allowed to do everything. What the Gemara is trying to prove is, watch this, that giving honor to the Torah is more significant than Purim. And if you look in Tosis here, Tosis even writes, it means even if you're not going to get to read Megillah. So you go to do this funeral, and it pushes off Purim. There's no halacha of Purim, right, when it comes to the burial of a Talmud Chacham, even if the net result is going to be that you're not going to read Megillah. So we thought up until now that Mikra Megillah is more important than Limud HaTorah, and that's why Rebbe closed the yeshiva, but maybe that's not true. Maybe really Torah is more significant than Mikra Megillah, because when it comes to the funeral of a Talmud Chacham, you push off Purim, including Mikra Megillah. So look what the Gemara answers. This answer is astonishing, gentlemen. The Gemara says, Kavod HaTorah Ka'amris, Kavod Torah Diyachid Chomor, Talmud Torah Diyachid Kal. The Gemara says these are two very, very different things. When Talmud Chacham passes away and you're going to do a funeral, that's not learning Torah. That's respect for Torah. Respect for Torah is indeed more significant than Purim. But learning Torah is not as significant. The Gemara just said something very astonishing. I wish we had more time to discuss. And that is that showing respect for Torah is more significant than learning Torah. That's a very striking statement. I just wasted 2 seconds of silence to let that sink in. Yeah, that's a very striking statement. That showing respect, I can't take questions, I'm sorry, Jeremy. Showing respect for Torah is more significant than learning Torah. That's a very fascinating concept. I wish we had more time to discuss. So let it just simmer in your brains. Think about why that might be true. That's a very astonishing statement. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rava, pshitali, it's obvious to me, Rava said that Avodah, Mikra Megillah, Adif. That if you have a comparison between Avodah and Mikra Megillah is greater because we learned Midrash Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. We learned last night that the Kohanim and Levim Yisrael used to leave the Avodah for Mikra Megillah. So Mikra Megillah must be greater than Avodah Zakarbonos. Talmud Torah, Mikra Megillah, learning Torah and Mikra Megillah Adif. Again, Mikra Megillah is greater than learning Torah. I mean, the Samchu based Rebbe, because of what we learned, that Rebbe used to close the yeshiva. Again, we already learned that that's talking about Limud HaTorah of the individual, not Limud HaTorah of the entirety of Knesset Yisrael, but the possibility of having Limud HaTorah of the entire Knesset Yisrael, you know, like they did in the days of Yoshua, being disturbed because of Mikra Megillah is very, very obscure. You know, it's not very likely, but Mikra Megillah is greater than the Limud HaTorah of the individual. That's what we learned last night from Rabbi. Talmud Torah, Meis Mitzvah. If you have Talmud Torah versus Meis Mitzvah, burying somebody. Now, Tosfos writes over here on the side, by the way, that this is not necessarily Meis Mitzvah. It's talking about a burial in general. If there is a funeral versus Talmud Torah, Meis Mitzvah other. A funeral takes precedence. Mitatanya, mivatlin Talmud Torah lohutzah sameis ulachnasas akala. You leave the base medrash to go do a funeral. You close the gemaras. You leave the base medrash in order to go do a funeral. I don't know why I just said gemaras, because mostly in the base medrash, you close the chumashim, you close the mishnayos, whatever it is that you're learning. You close it. And you go do a funeral. Right, doing a funeral takes precedence over learning Torah. Good. Avoda umeis mitzvah, meis mitzvah adif. Right, if you have the avodas hakorbanos versus a meis mitzvah again takes precedence. Mil v'la'acho so. It's on a pasuk talking about the nazir. The Gemara is going to explain to Tanya. V'la'acho so that he does not become tamei to bury his sister. Ma talmud lomar hare shahayah holich lishchodes pischo v'lamul espino. If somebody is going to do the korban pesach, now becoming tamei before you do korban pesach is very bad, because if you're tamei, you can't do Korban Pesach, right? So if you're on your way to head to go do the Korban Pesach and you get this unfortunate news, so the halacha is, right, that of Ishama Shemes Lomes, sorry, I should keep reading, and you hear, you get this unfortunate news that you lost a close relative, Yocho Yetame, you might think that you should go become Tame, Amris Lo Yetama, right? The Torah says, Lo Yetama, it's talking about Nazir, he does not become Tame. Yocho Kishem She'en Ometame La'acho So, Kachen Ometame Lemes. So you might think that just like the Nazir is commanded that he's not allowed to become Tameh for his sister, he's also not allowed to become Tameh for Meis Mitzvah, Talmud Lomar V'la'achoso. Now that's why the Torah says V'la'achoso. It lists a whole bunch of different relatives. If you look in Rashi over here, Rashi explains why each of those relatives is in fact listed. V'la'achoso is just one of the relatives on the list, and it comes to tell us that he does not become Tameh for his sister, La'achoso, who de'eno mitameh avo mitameh le'meis mitzvah. But he does become Tameh for a Meis Mitzvah. So you see that Meis Mitzvah pushes off Avodas HaKorbanos because he's not going to do the Korban Pesach. You see? So when I have this decision to make, you're going to do Korban Pesach or you're going to do Meis Mitzvah. So the halacha is you do Meis Mitzvah and not Korban Pesach. So you see that Meis Mitzvah takes precedence over Avodas HaKorbanos. Boy, Rava. Now Rava asks, Mikra Megillah Umeis Mitzvah Haimei Nayu Adif. This is now a good question, right? Because what we've just done on the past Amud of Gemara is we've just done two different comparison trees, right? One, Meis Mitzvah beats everything. Meis Mitzvah beats Limud HaTorah. Meis Mitzvah beats Avodas HaKorbanos. Two, we did Mikra Megillah beats everything. Mikra Megillah beats Avodas HaKorbanos. Mikra Megillah beats Limud HaTorah of the Yachid. So now we have a championship game, right? We had a quarterfinals, we had a semifinals, two sides of the bracket, and now we have a championship game. It's Meis Mitzvah against Mikra Megillah. Oh, it's not even March, right? So Meis Mitzvah and Mikra Megillah, Haimei Nayhu Adif. So the Gemara answers, Mikra Megillah Adif. Reading Megillah is greater than Meis Mitzvah Mishum Persume Nisa because of Persume Nisa. Oh, Dilma, or maybe that's not true, and Meis Mitzvah Adif Mishum Kavod Abrios, right? The Meis Mitzvah should take precedence because of Kavod Abrios, to show respect and dignity of the person, to provide burial for somebody who passes. So Basar Debai, so after Rava asked this question, Hadar Pashte, then he gave his own answer, which is Meis Mitzvah Adif. Meis Mitzvah is greater than reading Megillah. How do we know? To Amar Mar, Gadol Kavod Abrios Shedoches Lo Sasei Shabbat Torah. So Machlokes are showing him exactly what this means. I'll understand like Rashi. Rashi says like this. Rashi says that Kavod Abrios pushes off a negative command in the Torah. Rashi says it's talking about Hashavas Aveda. The halach is by Hashavas Aveda, if I see your stuff and you lost it, you left it somewhere, I have to go get it. What happens if it's in a place where it's beneath my dignity? to go get it. I don't know what that scenario would be. You know, imagine somebody who, you know, is a very esteemed person, and I don't know, for them to go, you know, pick up this lost object, whatever it is, and to walk around with it and to carry it, and it would be beneath their dignity. You can imagine. What was that, Ed? You don't have, so the halach is you don't have to get it. That's right. How come you don't have to get it? Because the concept of kavod abrios pushes off, right? The negative command in the Torah. The Torah says, lo sucha lehisalim. You can't turn away. But sometimes you're allowed to turn away. When there's a concept of dignity, right, which is involved, so you're allowed to turn away. So you see that kavod abrios can push off even a biblical command. Well, if kavod abrios is strong enough that it can push off a biblical command, so certainly it should be strong enough that it could push off the rabbinic mitzvah of reading the Megillah. And that's why Rava concluded that if you have a decision between Mace Mitzvah, burying somebody needs burial, and reading the Megillah, you should do the Mace Mitzvah and push off the rabbinic mitzvah of reading Megillah. Good. Now the Gemara goes all the way back to what we learned, I think, two nights ago. Gufa, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, krach v'chol ha-samuchlo, right? V'chol ha-nira imo, nidon kikrach. You remember we learned this, I think it was two nights ago. The Gemara said that when the Pasuk says, Medina u-Medina, right? It's coming to distinguish between cities that are walled from the days of Yeshua as opposed to cities that are walled only from the days of Ahasuerus. But then when it says Va'ir, Va'ir, it's coming to distinguish between the walled city, but it's not just the walled city because there's other cities that can get in. Which are the other cities that can get in? A city which is close to the walled city or a city which you can see from the walled city. By the way, just for our review, the rest of the Pasuk, Mishpacha u-Mishpacha, taught us that they get rid of they push off the Avoda, right? Even in the Beis HaMikdash. Now we've got the whole pasuk together. So Tana Samach Avapi She'eno Nira, Nira Avapi She'eno Samach. So it's true if it's close to the walled city, even if you can't see it. Or if you can see it, even though it's not close, meaning one factor without the other is sufficient to have you counted as the walled city and you would read on the 15th. Bishloma Nira Avapi She'eno Samach. I understand that makes sense if you can see it, even if it's not close. Mishkachas Lucky going to Yasubiro Shahar, if it's on the top of a mountain. So it might be very far away, but you can see from one to the other. You can see it, right? Because it's on the top of the mountain. So it would read on the 15th. It's astonishing. By the way, you can see Yerushalayim from a distance. So anywhere you can see from Yerushalayim, right? You can see the what's it called? The unwalled city. They would read on the 15th also. It's not just in Yerushalayim, which is astonishing. Elasamach Havapi She'eino Nira. What would the scenario be if it's close, even if you can't see it? Heichi Mishkachaslo. What would that be? Amar Rav Yemi Yeshua Shevis Banacha. If it's in the valley, so you can't see it because it's down in the valley, except it's close, it's within a meal, it's within that proximity, so then that would also count as the walled city, and you would read on the 15th. V'amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Rav Yeshua ben Levi said, krach she'yashav v'luvasov hukaf, midon kikfar. Yeshua ben Levi said, in order to be considered a walled city, it had to be built in a certain way. If you had a city, and then they decided to build a wall around the city, that is not considered to be a walled city. It has to have the wall built first. The wall has to go up first, and then you build the houses inside. My timer, where does this come from? There is a concept in the Torah called Batei Orechoma, which is a fascinating concept. The basic principle of which is, if you sell a property which is inside of a walled city, the sale is not entirely complete until 1 year from the date of purchase. Within that year, you have the ability to redeem your property. You have to give back full purchase price, right? Whatever it was that you got, but you have the ability to redeem that property. That's the basic gist of the halacha Batei Orechoma. Choma, it's a little more complicated than that, but that is the basic gist. But in order to be considered a Batayari Choma, right, a house of a walled city, you have to have a house in the walled city. So what's the definition of a walled city? The definition of a walled city is that the wall was built first and then the city was built inside, but not the other way around, right? But a shehukat v'luvasov yashav, you built the wall and then you built the city. V'losha yashav v'luvasov hukat. But it can't be that people were living there and then they decided to build a wall, and the halacha here is the same thing. So we have to do some research. You know, when you're trying to figure out, is the city a walled city or not? It's not so simple, right? To figure out if it's a walled city. V'amar ribal, krach, Yeshua ben Levi taught, krach she'ein bo asara patlonim, nidon kikfar. This is amazing. The halacha is awesome, right? You know, it's not just walled cities versus unwalled cities. It's also then big cities versus villages. Remember? Because we said that the villages, they come and they can read already on the 11th, 12th, 13th. So who are the villagers? So Yeshua ben Levi taught, you know what city is a village? You're a big city if you have a regular minion. Asara batlonim. 10 people who leave work,
and they come to shul, and you have shachris, and you have mincha, and you have mariv, if you have 10 people like that, and you have a regular minyan, then you're a big city. If you can't get a regular minyan, then you're a village. So you got to figure out, are you a real shul or not? So if you have regular minyan, if you have shachris, and the people come back at night in the afternoon, so then you're a big shul. But if not, so then you're a village, then you're a village. So the Gemara asks, my kamash malon, right? I made that up. My kamash malon, right? What is this teaching us? I got to hurry up. Tanina, ezu hi ir gedola, kosher yesh basar bat lanim, pachas mikan harei ze kfar. We already know this. What is Rabbi Shua ben Levi teaching me? Something that I already had from the Tanoim. So the Gemara says, krach it's trichalei. No, he needed to teach you a krach. Apagab de mikli le me alma, because there were cities that had a big marketplace. So they used to get a lot of visitors. So they always had a minion because they had a lot of people coming in and out, but it wasn't the regulars. So that's still a village. You've got to have 10 people from the city to always make the minion. It's not a matter of having the minion, it's having your locals making the minion. That's what makes it a city as opposed to a village. If you have a city that was destroyed but then rebuilt, so it's still counted like the big city. What does that mean? Destroyed, rebuilt. What are we talking about? I'm just going to read like Rashi now. If it was a walled city, but then the walls got knocked down. Yoshav in lo, yoshav lo. And then we would be teaching that if you rebuilt the walls, then it would be considered a walled city. But if we did not rebuild the walls, it would not be considered a walled city. Vahatanya, that cannot be, because Rabbi Elezer bar Yossi taught asher lo choma. This is again by Batei Yorei Choma. Asher lo choma. Afa pisha in lo achshav. If it had a wall in the days of Yoshua, even if that wall gets knocked down subsequently, it is still considered an ir choma. Vahayo lo kodim l'chein ela mai charav. So what must it mean that it was destroyed? Shacharav me asara bat lonim. It means that you used to be a city that had a minion. You lost some population or whatever, and now you don't have a minion. So you go from being a city to being a village. But now the minion comes back, and now you have a regular. So then you become a city again. You can switch back and forth in that kind of scenario. One more line. Amar Ribal lud va'ono v'geicha rashim ukapas choma mius Yeshua ben Nun. And finally, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught us that these three cities, lud, ono, and geicha rashim, they had walls from the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. And the Gemara will pick up tomorrow night discussing the status of these three cities. Have a good night.